Now let's get specific and find out a lot more about what Spokane Falls Community College is doing on their fall play. Ashley DeMovo, good morning.
Good morning.
And it opens this Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2, this weekend and next weekend. And the intriguing title, because some titles kind of imply that you're going to understand everything about the play, and some make you wonder quite a bit. Six Rounds of Vengeance, I have a feeling, is a title that might make a little more sense once someone has kind of heard the play than before they go to it. Is that safe to say?
Right. As soon as we're introduced to the neon green six-shooter, I think the six rounds become a little bit more clear.
Okay, so there we go. So now we understand six rounds is six bullets, or in a sense, and then that there's going to be vengeance here. What is kind of the premise of this play? What's going on here? It's a post-apocalyptic play, is it?
Yes. So Six Rounds of Vengeance by Qui Gwen. It really relies on Western samurai stories, old action movies, a little bit on blaxploitation films, vampire chillers. It's combining a whole lot of genres together. And the result is this really wacky, crazy play about post-apocalyptic Las Vegas and the people who are trying to save it from two different gangs of aggressors. And the fun thing about the play, it's very new. It was only written in about 2014. It had its premiere in 2015 by the Vampire Cowboys, led by Qui Gwen.
Is that a drama troupe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we rely on different heroes than the original tropes that the play takes after did. So instead of the typical, you know, white male cowboys, we have women, we have black men, we have gay men. And there's always a little bit of surprise about who the actual villains are and who the heroes are.
Okay, and we have two of the people from the play here. We have the characters of Jess and Gabby. And so who is Jess?
So Jess is, from the beginning, she starts out as one of the heroes. That's not a surprise. So she's out for vengeance. It's her six-shooter that follows us through those six rounds of vengeance. And from the beginning, she gives us kind of her side of what's going on in this crazy, fallen-apart, dangerous city. And her big focus is getting vengeance for the murder of her sister.
Well, we have a monologue that's going to illuminate that.
Yep.
Right now, okay. In the role as Tess is J.C. Fortin, and so let's hear from you about why you want vengeance. Go ahead.
In the monologue.
Yeah.
All right. Right. You might need some backstory. Years ago, as the world went to shit after the Great Big War, towns out west began closing their borders. The Longtooth Gang, a psychotic crew of evildoers, were wreaking senseless havoc over the former U.S. of A. And everyone, and I mean everyone, was scared that their towns would be nixed. 5 years ago, that fear became a reality here in Las Vegas. People began disappearing. Bloodstained streets became a common sight. And soon it will be that anyone caught outside after nightfall had guaranteed themselves a death sentence. That is, until four masked lawmen rose up amongst our people and went to war against the Longtooths. And in one blood-soaked evening, the devils took back our town. But that was 5 years ago. Now those same devils who we once called our protectors are now our captors.
Wow, that does illuminate a lot on several levels, especially even as we hear governments that where the hero that came in to solve a problem with a country or a government then mm-hmm. stayed around and went from the hero to the devil, and so
absolutely.
So that's what Jess is talking about. So let's even as before we get into the other character and go some other places, tell us a little bit more about Jess. You sound like you're sure of yourself. You have strong ideas. What's your role in trying to help the situation?
I would say Jess is someone who I describe it as she doesn't really know what she's doing. It's all a bravado. She's very confident, but she's confident in the wrong things. And I think her line of vengeance, like, just drives the story around all the characters and kind of gives you that main arc.
Okay. And then we have the role of Gabby, which is played by Sarah Plum. And so how does Gabby fit into these many different characters? We'll start with your description, then we'll ask Sarah hers.
Okay. So Gabby is the sister. And we the timeline of the play jumps around crazily. And so the scene that we're going to hear later on is a flashback. So we see the sisters in slightly happier times, still stressful times after the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But so we get to see kind of how their relationship developed and what it was like before Gabby was murdered.
Nice. And so so about your care first, hello, Sarah Plum.
Hello.
And so how do you describe yourself relative to your sister? Jess, your sister already admitted that she has a lot of bravado and not much behind it. What are your strengths and weaknesses?
I think Gabby is kind of the one, she's like the glimmer of hope in the kind of death and destruction that happens. She's the one that kind of stays optimistic even with all the things going wrong around. And I think that kind of is a driver for Jess because it keeps her optimistic and it keeps her level-headed. And so as soon as Gabby's taken out of the equation and Jess kind of has to fend for herself, it changes the story and it helps Jess's character development as far as where she becomes as a woman.
Yeah. Well, do you agree? You agree with that, Jess? I'll keep calling you by your character name.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that's a good time to go to that scene, which actually the director, you say what happens is a flashback to earlier in their childhood? Earlier
young
in their
adulthood,
time,
yeah.
Or
like
in their,
years
in their
ago,
life,
Mark.
Not childhood,
right.
But their time together. Okay, let's go to this other scene. This is the play Six Rounds of Vengeance, opening this Friday at SFCC.
What are you doing up?
Well, I couldn't sleep.
Well, you should try.
But I can't.
Okay, whatever. Do what you want, but it's still your shift in 3 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
It's quiet out.
It is.
Do you really think the long tooths are gone?
It's what our new friend tells us. It's hard to believe, though.
He's still pretty banged up.
Yeah. But he'll get better, and it'll be nice to have some extra hands around.
He's cute.
Stop.
He is.
How do you do that?
Do what?
Think of unimportant things like that when the world is literally falling apart around us.
I don't know. It's better than sitting around thinking about dying all the time, right?
Right.
Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?
What?
What do you want to be when you grow up?
You are kidding me with that question, right?
It's just a question.
It's a dumb question.
You asked me how I can think about things other than the world falling apart around me? This is how. I pretend that the world is still okay. So, what do you want to be?
Really?
It's just a hypothetical.
Well, if I could invent a time machine and go back to a time when the world still had things like electricity and motorized vehicles, normal people didn't have to worry on the daily about being murdered by morning, I guess I'd want to be in a accountant.
An accountant?
Yeah. Something boring, but safe. That's what I'd want to be.
Safe sounds good. Mm. Do you ever think about Mom or Dad?
Every day. All the time.
Me too. I wish they were still here.
Me too.
We're gonna be all right. Right?
I don't know, Gabs. I honestly don't know. But as long as I'm alive, I promise I'm going to do whatever I can to take care of you. Go to sleep, hon. I got this. No bad guys are going to get you tonight. I promise.
There we go. Sarah Plum as Gabby and J.C. Fortin as Jess. It was interesting. At the very beginning of that scene, you talked about your shift. Is this a shift to watch for bad guys? Or what was that the essence of the shift that you had in this post-apocalyptic Las Vegas, they call it?
Yeah. Anyone caught outside after nightfall, it's kind of the dangerous time.
And we see that a lot. One really exciting thing about this show is that we were able to bring out a professional fight choreographer from Los Angeles. Not just anyone. His name's Christian Chan, and he's worked with the playwright a number of times in the past. And as I said, he's a professional fight choreographer and actor in Los Angeles. He came up for an extended long weekend and did a fight combat intensive with our students. And so they have a level of stage combat most of them have never experienced before. And it really gets crazy. It's fun.
Well, Ashley DeMoville, who's head of the theater department at SFCC. There's so many issues that you get to choose three plays a year, essentially, one for each quarter of your academic term. And so each play needs to accomplish certain things. And you probably have about 20 different criteria that you're juggling among. Why this play? What is this play beyond a great chance to learn stage fighting? What is this delivering to the students?
Our goal, we have a season selection committee, and for the fall quarter, we try to find something that's very contemporary, quite new, something that offers a different style of theater that perhaps the community and students haven't seen as much of before. We do more classical work in spring, and in winter we do things for families and children. Mm-hmm. So this was an opportunity to do something that was very new, would appeal to our student audience, and that would give our student actors a chance to learn fight choreography and a chance to deal with this kind of nonlinear, very contemporary style.
Okay. And back to the two actors, I assume among you, as you at the beginning and end of a play rehearsal or anything, what's the issue of a post-apocalyptic world? Is that anything that's on your minds? Not unlike what Gabby's character was talking. Well, what even in that dual dialogue that you talked about, is this something that you think about within your lives outside theater that you learn from, that you wonder about? Would there be a post-apocalyptic world? How would you live in that? What conversations have come up?
I don't know if we've had any like specific deep conversations that I can like recall, but there's definitely like thoughts of power play and how, like you said before, if someone becomes the hero, you view them as a hero, but really their intentions actually ended up not being that great. And it switched. They were our protectors and now they're our captors. And that, you know, is always a thought sometimes in the world of, is this right? So it just hints at it. It doesn't go that deep into it, in my opinion, but it definitely suggests those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And therefore how people react when they're at the survival level.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that kind of part of it, of how you deal with unexpected stuff? I don't know. What do you think about that, Sarah?
I think my character and most of the characters in the show behave far better than I would in any kind of post-apocalyptic scenario.
I would not become a cowboy.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of fight or flight instinct in the show that's dealt with throughout. Like, characters before the apocalypse even happens are fighting each other over a toy or like something small. So it definitely brings into question, if you were put in this scenario of the long-tooth vampire gang coming in and the devil's coming up against it, it's an abstract, bizarre scenario, but it really makes you think about what you would do in that kind of post-apocalyptic situation with so many different factors. It's not just one person versus one thing. It's one person versus the community versus another community versus everybody else. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, I wish I could behave as well as Gabby does, but I don't have that experience.
Two of the characters from this play, which is opening this Friday night, Six Rounds of Vengeance, Friday, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 2, at the Spokane Falls Community College Theater this weekend and next. So thank you, everybody, for bringing this to us.